The focus in this recording is going to be on principle. Principle is the fifth step in the development of thought as described in Genesis 1, chapter 1. Mary Baker Eddy has defined God to be incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Those line up with the days of creation as detailed in Genesis chapter 1. The fifth day of creation is based on principle, and the fifth term for God in the definition just read from page 465 from the chapter Recapitulation, which is chapter 14 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Helen Wright, thank you very much, has gone through Science and Health and underlined every word where principle with a capital P has been used. These are all the terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses to describe principle. And there's 43 of them, and are as follows in alphabetical order. Spiritual power, apodictical, and a term that she uses, apodictical, is absolute certainty. Continuing, authority, balance, being, calculus, classification, consistency, conformity, crown, demonstration, economy, establishes, explains, foundation, govern. That term is also used as a term to describe mind and soul. Government. Harmony. Heart. Honesty. Idea. Individual. Interpret. Kingdom. Loyalty. Metaphysics. Obedience, one, operation, personal, perfect, that is also used to describe mind, platform, practice, proof, rock, science, that's with a capital S, spiritual power. This is with a lowercase s and p, and the first term that was read was spiritual power with a capital S. Statement, teaching, unity, universe, universal, work. She uses seven terms to describe the opposite of principle. And they are as follows. Fragmentation. Discord. Dishonesty. Personal. So she uses that both to describe principle representing God and as an opposite. So that will have to be explored on why she says that. And that would be answered in the book, Your Divinity Revealed, in the chapter that covers principle. Hypocrisy, theories, and ungodliness. It is highly recommended that one study that chapter. Chapter 4 is on mind, 5 is on spirit, 6 is on soul, and 7 is on principle. principle being the fourth term to describe God in the definition of God, as stated on page 465 of Recapitulation, chapter 14. The Lord's Prayer by Jesus begins as follows: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallow is used in the diapason of heaven to describe principle. She states as follows: We must hallow this word principle as a name for God. Declare often, there is only one principle, and this is my infinite, all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-acting, all-loving principle. Principle is my God, and my God is divine principle. Good is my principle, and my principle is good. Divine principle is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. Persons and personal sense are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Declare all the truths you know about principle. Principle as God must be subjective in your consciousness. Claim this revealed principle as yours and as your subjective thought. This ever-operative, unvarying, enduring, governing, exhaustless, sustaining principle is enthroned. So-called mortal laws are inoperative and unreal. That is the end of the paragraph where she describes diapason of heaven, focusing on principle. With all of these diapason of heaven paragraphs that she offers, she makes it very clear that we should state these often throughout the day. As we get a better understanding of the terms used for principle, it's very easy to expand on this paragraph, and in fact, that's what we should do. It is recommended that when one state this paragraph or read it, that they record it, and they record their own thoughts along with it, because that will enable them to open their door of consciousness to let words that describe principle to flow from God. Angel messages will come to one if they're open to a more expansive view than just the words that they are reading. Everything must be made our own if we are going to learn and remember to follow the messages that are in everything that Mary Baker Eddy writes. It is recommended that whenever one study, that they record everything that they're studying. If they record it, it will force their thought to be more focused on exactly what they should be learning from. The more senses that are used, the senses being defined as seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, the more of those senses that are used when one is studying, the better the opportunity is to learn and remember. And of course, we want to realize that the only substance is spirit, so the only real senses are spiritual senses. They are not senses that are deemed to be what we use to, like, chew up food, or to hear something that is entertaining, or to talk, gossip. or to feel in a sensual way, or to taste in a material sense way. Everything must always be focused on spirit. So the only senses that are of value, lasting value, and of course what we should be utilizing for identification, are the spiritual senses. This concept of spiritual senses was more fully described in the recording on soul. A symbol of the candlestick is one good way to think about principle. Whenever one is thinking about God, it is impossible for them to think about personality. And when one thinks about personality, the temptation is to let evil creep in, because personality is humanity. And that means the human sense of an individual, which is really a spiritual individuality. We cannot possibly think about a spiritual individuality and at the same time think of a material personality. If one thinks about the candlestick, think of the stem, which is the base, which is attached to the base and holds up all seven of the lights that help us define God. Mary Baker Eddy has provided the tools for us to learn more about God, and one of those tools, as already mentioned, is the definition of God on page 465. There's another definition on page 578 in the glossary, which is as follows. God, the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And that's the same page where good is defined, and that definition of good makes it clear that there is no evil in God. The definition being God, spirit. Spirit cannot have any evil, for that is the opposite of evil. For evil is based on matter and mortal mind. Also, the four omnis are in that definition. Omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. We can overcome the belief of an accident if we focus on the action of God being the only action there is. An accident can only occur under the belief of chaos, something being out of order, something not having the proper structure or system. It's like cars that are racing through the desert without any road. The road is a symbol of system and structure. Actually, a speed limit, or the laws of the road, would be considered the system, and the structure would be the road. Now, if we think about a candelabra, think about the middle that is attached to the base as being principle. And then consider three candles on the left and three on the right. Those would be mind, spirit, soul on the left, and life, truth, and love on the right. Now, one of the terms that is used to describe principle was heart. Heart is considered to be the center of the individual, for that's where everything flows from for sustaining life. So the heart means the center. Principle means the center, the core of our being. And that center is supported by the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of omniscience, which is a part of mind, also the creative power and force, also the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility of mind, and as noted before, one of the four omnis of mind is action. Now, if you combine these terms which have just been mentioned, they then produce performance. Performance is then measured as power. If one goes to buy a car, they have a designated amount of horsepower that is associated with that particular engine that is in that car. Now, what that means is that that engine has demonstrated that it produces the performance that is advertised, assuming the advertisement is honest. Now, God is omnipotent, so if we, instead of relying on the power of a motor or an engine, if we rely on God being our power, there is no limit at all to the power that is available for us to reflect. We can reflect exactly the amount of power that is needed to do what we need to do. Every challenge that we are presented with, we are provided with the tools by God to perform that task. We are never given a challenge that is more than what we can conquer. And it's not really us conquering it, it's us getting out of the way to realize that the qualities of God are giving us every facility, every capacity, every capability, every functionality, every creative force, every action which brings forth the performance that we need to be successful. We need to keep our thought on the spiritual senses, which are the facility of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, looking through the lens of spirit, not the limited sense of materiality. One of the primary focuses of Christian Science is to realize that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter. And that includes anything that is unlike God. In other words, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in mortal mind, because that is a fake of the real divine mind, which is immortal. And since immortal mind is the real, mortal mind is the false concept of the one and only divine mind. Everything about God is real. And everything that is unlike God, which means that if there's even a tiny little speck of impurity in the concept that we are considering, then that is not God. That is unlike God. That is a false representation of God. If we focus on spirit as being the only substance, we realize that spirit is flawless. There are no mistakes in spirit. So there can be no mistakes in the principle of whatever we are involved in as an activity if we think of principle being of the substance of spirit. principle is always in balance, so there can't be any imbalance in what we are doing if we are following the demands of the science of soul, which means that we're going to be focusing on the spiritual senses for identification. We're not going to be able to identify anything improperly if we realize that the spiritual senses are the facility that enable us to identify. Now that is like an object. Soul is like an object. Our senses are like an object. The power of identification is coming from mind, for mind is omnipotent. So it is the mind of God that is enabling us to see, hear, feel, taste, and smell with the spiritual senses of soul. For the verb is mind. The action is mind. The object, or the facility to do it, is soul. Since the science of Christianity, which is Christian Science, was written in the language of English, then the more we know and understand about English, the more clear will be our concept of Christian Science, and therefore the more clear our concept of God, because the definition of God is described in English. To get a better understanding of principle, on the website there is a page that is completely devoted to each of the seven synonymous terms. So if one studies the page that is on principle, which includes a lot of different factors about principle, that will open up the door to get a better understanding about what principle is and how we can let it be guiding us in our spiritual development. Keep in mind that Mary Beck Reddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. Now, along with this, it's important to realize that Isaiah gives us a beautiful verse that says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Dr. Albert Einstein picked up on this verse from Isaiah when he said, we should all learn a little bit about the holy each day. And Mary Baker Eddy states that do not expect to accomplish everything in one day. The important thing is for us to use our moments in a constructive way. Then we have the benefit of compounding. Einstein refers to compounding as the eighth wonder of the world. So if we learn a little bit today or this moment, then the next moment builds on a larger base because it includes what we have already just learned. So we are not progressing in an arithmetic, simple fashion, but in a geometric compounding fashion. Whenever we do a treatment, it is always good to seal it. And by that, what I mean is to say something like this, and of course it should be in your own words, the truth in this treatment is protected by the arms of divine love. Nothing can dilute it, deflect it, interfere with it in any way. It can't be stopped, and it can't be reversed. It is effective, and it reflects out into the atmosphere of thought and available to anyone that is receptive. God is all, and there's nothing that can prevent the effectiveness of God's allness from benefiting all humanity. I am grateful for all the good that God has revealed to me. And this good is based on spirit, which is everlasting. I'm grateful for Christ Jesus for showing us the way, being an example of love par excellence. I'm grateful for Mary Baker Eddy for giving us the science which tells us how Jesus healed. I'm grateful for all the other authors that have been inspired, the inspired prophets of the Old Testament, for St. Paul, for giving us all of the wonderful spiritual thoughts that are in the New Testament, the things that are recorded by the disciples and the early church fathers, and for everyone else who contributes positively to the universe of thought. God is all in all. There is nothing but God. Amen.